When did you dye your braids? I feel like that's new.
No, Monty, you did see me with this hair before because I feel like I was wearing this hat and you said I look like Jay Ajayi.
I said you looked like Jay Ajayi.
Oh,
well, probably on here. That's a very good reference. I like that a lot.
Now I'm looking at it. I was like, oh.
Fire ass reference.
You look like you rushed for 200 yards and then disappeared forever.
Yeah, fuck it, man. What else do you need to do? Get a Super Bowl.
cut by the team. No, traded to the Eagles or cut by the team? I forget.
Traded to the Eagles.
And then a season.
disappeared into complete irrelevance. All right, welcome back to Fantasy TE. Everybody's watching and listening. Thank you guys for watching and listening. My name is Nick Masick. We also have Vitaly Juiced and Lonnie Cox. Welcome back, guys. If you are watching or listening live on YouTube, you can watch us live on YouTube every week around 6-ish. You can write in questions, write in comments, write in, brag about your team, you know, whatever you want to do. Feel free to write in. We'd love to hear from you. All right. In today's show, we are going to talk about Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Burrow's big win, two-point conversions, which were fun, a running back who won the free agent lottery. We're going to play over-under, and I'd rather have Kaepernick than. But first, why your team sucks with Lonnie Cox.
Oh, God. You know, we're starting to look at many, many teams this week. you know, we've got a lot of contenders. You know, I will be honest with you. This was a hard week to choose from. So if you will just bear with me, let's go over some scores from yesterday. I was thinking maybe we'll take a trip to Green Bay. You know, I know we've stopped there already. Mm-hmm. Arizona, we've already stopped there this year. Maybe Baltimore blowing their fourth 10-point lead in one season.
The defense, for sure.
Oh, but last week we were talking about the Ravens are the best team in the NFL secretly. We just haven't seen them yet. And where are they coming? The defense is starting to come together. But I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to take a trip to Los Angeles and talk about the Rams, which what happened to the Rams? Is it the injury bug that's bitten the Rams? I mean, I think so. But is Matt Stafford done? Does he ever come back from concussion protocol? Do they keep letting a wide receiver play quarterback in Los Angeles? They cut their best running back for no reason. Why did Daryl Henderson get cut? I think they got picked up. He got picked up by
Jacksonville. Immediately. Off waivers.
Yeah. Picked up. Don't understand that move. Cam Akers maybe came back. But God, you know, they signed Bobby Wagner. I think I picked them to go back to at least the NFC Championship game this year. I think maybe Vital did too. I know one of us.
I think I did.
I picked them to go back because I thought that's where Odell was going to go, and I thought that division was going to be weaker than it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Rams, I believe, are now 3-8, tied for one of the worst records in the NFL. I believe they are like 27th or something like that. They're right now, I think they're at the fifth draft pick. The only problem with that is it belongs to Detroit. the Matt Stafford pick trade. I mean, listen, they went all in last year. They won the Super Bowl. That's all you want. The GM will rest on that for a couple of years. The coach will rest on that for a couple of years. But this has been a tough year to be a Rams fan, which is I can't remember a team that won the Super Bowl being this bad the next year. I'm sure maybe the Giants might have done something along these lines. I don't think it was this deep in the season that we were talking about a Super Bowl winning team. Usually it's the Super Bowl loser that comes back and has a rough.
Yeah, but they were dominant too on their way to the Super Bowl.
They were.
The Bengals or the Rams?
The Rams.
No, the Rams.
Yeah,
Rams.
No.
The compared Rams to like the Giants?
Unreal. I mean, the Rams last year, I mean, some of the greatest games. I mean, that game over Tampa Bay last year to get to the NFC Championship was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, like, God, what a fun season last year was. Mm-hmm. And this year it's like, it's a little depressing. Honestly, I felt bad about including them today, but I mean, I was a huge Rams fan last year. I really wanted them to win. I wanted Matt Stafford to win and Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Jalen Ramsey and Odell Beckham and Cooper Kupp. It was such a fun team to want to win. Mm-hmm. And it's just equally as depressing, I think, this year to watch them.
It's a pretty
good, their win, though.
They got their win.
They did get it. They sold their soul and they got it. So
it's a pretty big hangover. And that a lot of their soul is going to Detroit. Detroit with those draft picks next year. We'll talk about Thanksgiving games in a second, but oh boy, they could be scary depending on what they do with those draft picks next year. Obviously a lot of it is injury related, but also like some talent that was there that isn't anymore. You're talking about Von Miller, who also got hurt yesterday, but Von Miller was so good last year playing in that middle. And Odell Beckham, you know, let's not forget that this Rams team looked like they were kind of suspect until the Odell Beckham signing. And I know he was replacing Robert Woods, but he came in and changed that team completely from an offensive standpoint. They were unstoppable on offense once they added Odell to a healthy Cooper Kupp. So, you know, you got one of your best players on defense and one of your best players, probably top two defensive players and your top two offensive players have been gone and just not there. And I know Bobby Wagner is not Von Miller anymore. He used to be in that category, but he just isn't anymore. They're not the same team. They just aren't, flat out. So, and they haven't been all year. How glad are you if you're Christian McCaffrey that you made that call to go to San Francisco? Cause he was apparently on the fence. Like the Rams were right there neck and neck.
Well, and I think he knew. I think he is glad.
Well, this was before the injuries, though. Cooper Kupp was still playing.
But I think you were even at the beginning of the season. I know there was a time, I believe, when the 49ers, like, they had a similar record to the Rams. I think they were both kind of at floating around 500. But first of all, Christian McCaffrey played college right down the street. You know what I mean? Like, he's known there. I think his family kind of lives close to San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I mean, I think you were, even if you asked all of us, like, we could probably go back into the old podcast episodes, but like, we were probably asking ourselves, like, are the Rams in trouble? Right around the time we were asking, are the 49ers, what's their ceiling?
Right.
And I think we could both see, like, you could see the trend at that point too.
Yeah, absolutely. However, if not for injuries, had they signed McCaffrey and Beckham, who were the two guys that they were allegedly pursuing, and they hadn't had all these injuries, I think we would be talking about them as potentially making a run, making a push, and passing the 49ers, possibly.
I don't know, man. The only reason I say no is because of their offensive line. Like, their offensive line is just shambles.
It's been
like, they're just not really able to contend this year from an offensive line standpoint, no matter what. Who you put on defense and who you put at receiver. Like, if your offensive line isn't there, we were talking about this last year and we've talked about it every year, this podcast. Like, if you don't have an elite offensive line in December and January, like, you're not really going to be in the conversation. Yes. The Bengals were able to say,
unless they're the Bengals.
But I mean, look at every single piece of that team. Like, they have top five guys at every position.
Right.
That is in the offensive line on offense, receiver, running back, quarterback, like everything else is able to supplement that. But like, even still, I mean, Joe Burrow was on his back so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so much.
If you give that team an elite offensive line, they win the Super Bowl and it's not even close.
Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? But they couldn't afford an elite offensive line spending the money where they were, I don't think. Sure. So, you know, there's always a balance. That's the beauty of the salary cap. You brought up the Lions having the Rams pick, which is looking really like a good pick this year. The Lions, there were a lot of, all the Thanksgiving games were really good games this year, which was really fun. We don't often get that. I actually can't remember the last time we had three good games. It was usually like one or two blowouts.
Didn't the Dallas Giants game break records?
Yes.
Did it for what? What kind of like
viewership? 42 viewership. Million.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That makes sense too. I'm not surprised. They put it in the right spot. It was good. But the Lions gave the Bills a good run. The Lions, if they keep Goff, which I think they should, because I don't think they're going to get one of the top two quarterbacks. I know, Vitaly, you're going to say, I'm okay with Goff. I've been kind of on your side about Goff. If they
I'm not going to say anything because you know what I want to say, but I'm just going to let you go.
I'm with you. I have the tape to prove it. I don't hate Goff. I don't hate on Goff. I think if they keep Goff, because I think he's in the Jimmy G category. I think he's actually more accurate, more consistent than Jimmy G.
He's willing to throw it. It's just his kind of his decision making.
Sometimes it's just yes. But I think if they keep Goff and just use those draft picks to either, you know, leverage trade for other established players or just draft studs for defense, and that wide receiver core gets healthy, because you're looking at that wide receiving group. If Jameson Williams turns into what they think he's going to be, which he was one of the, you know, best wide receiver, he might be the best wide receiver from the last draft class. Amon-Ra, DJ Chark is your number three guy. Josh Reynolds, and then those two running backs. If they put a stacked up defense with that group, they could be really tough to contend with next year, especially in an NFC or North that might be a little bit softer than years past.
Do you think they would need to get a new coach? Do you think he could get him there? What's his name? Carpenter. I liked him when he was on Miami, but you think his schemes are good enough?
I think it depends more on the coordinators, but yes, I think his schemes are good enough. Maybe, I don't know, who's their DC? They might need a... who is it?
Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he hasn't had a lot to work with. So I think if you add more players, I don't know their schemes. Their defense has been killed. Their offense has put up huge numbers. So I think you really just need to put players that can play on that defense and give them a chance.
The problem is with Detroit is that it's Detroit, right? Like, you're not going to get the high-end free agents to come play in Detroit. You have to get them through trade or you have to draft them.
Right.
That puts you at a huge disadvantage. So I just don't really see, like,
but they're usually great at drafting.
I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. Because of those Rams picks, they are actually positioned very well.
Yeah, their scout team's deal good with that.
They've got the capital. They've got the draft capital to make a big move, either just in the draft or by making a trade. I think they're going to be tough to beat in that division next year. I think they're not easy to beat this year. So I just hope they keep Goff and they don't leverage everything they have to try to chase after one of these quarterbacks. Cause I think Goff, at what they're paying him and with the weapons around him, I think they can win with him. I think he's
a quarterback in the draft right now that I don't know will go at number five.
That's what I'm saying. You're talking, these guys might be one and two, right? Was it CJ Stroud and
the other guy? But even then, man, like, I don't know, dude. Like, CJ Stroud is great. Bryce Young is great. But are they, like, clear-cut NFL ballers? Like, I don't know. It's right. So hard to evaluate quarterback talent. Like,
Even if they are, they might be 2 to 3 years away. They might be a Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen kind of project in terms of how soon are they ready to win? Where, yeah, Goff can make the throws. He can win you games right now. He's great on a rollout. Put the team around him.
I mean, he's proven it, right? He's proven he can get you to the Super Bowl.
He can get you to the Super Bowl with a good team around him, and you can afford a really good team with what they're paying for him. So I like Detroit's chances next year. If they hit it in the draft, I think I like the way they're going. I like the way they're trending. They could have beat the Bills. It was close. It was iffy. Patriots Vikings was another good game. Vikings, Kirk Cousins, big win in primetime. Another one. Did you guys watch the post game interview?
No.
Dude, Robert Griffin tweeted about it. It was ridiculous. Adam Thielen took a bite of the turkey leg, spit it out, and said it was dry on national television. Justin Jefferson said he couldn't eat the turkey leg because he had to take his grills out first. That's classic. And Patrick Peterson stole a turkey leg before they did the interview. And Kirk Cousins said he was going to actually have to talk to his dentist about getting himself some grills. Kirk was the only one who was actually, you know, saying and doing what he was supposed to in that interview. It was good. It was classic stuff.
Well, that poor chef is heartbroken,
dude. Yeah, well, no. I mean, the turkey was sitting there. Like, they showed it before the game. I had that thought. Before the game, they're like, this is what the winner's going to get. I'm like, that's going to be pretty shitty by the time they get to it. It was not good.
I guarantee he tagged people. He's all like, yo, watch everyone. Yo, that's my turkey. And then he just sees out the old spit it out on actual television.
Turkey like sitting there for 5 hours. Can't have been good. It was funny though. It was good stuff. So the games were good. This was, how about Odell Beckham incident in Miami? You guys hear this?
Oh yeah, wasn't he kicked off a plane or something?
Kicked off a plane for nodding in and out of consciousness. He fell asleep while they were sitting on the runway. This seems weird. I read like the press release from his lawyer, and his lawyer was basically like, this is ridiculous. Like, yeah. he wasn't charged with anything. But they asked him to get off the plane. He was like, no, why do you want me to get off the plane? Because they told him to put his seatbelt on and he didn't because he was asleep because they were sitting on the runway. I don't know. This whole thing seems weird to me. Is it? Have you guys read about this or thought about this?
No, but it's ironic because I didn't realize that it was because of that. It was because he fell asleep. But I don't know if you remember, like a couple months ago, a video came out that his girl posted of him like on a plane, like before the plane, and him getting fucked up, like him drinking before the plane. Like that's his kind of his routine, I think.
Okay.
But like, let's be honest, like who, like, even people that you and I both, like my grandma gets fucked up before she flies.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like a thing that people kind of do.
It's a very common thing.
Very common.
They got bars and no one judges you for drinking at 10 a.m.
6 a.m. I mean, I remember I went to an airport in Europe one time and there was a guy drinking a beer at 6 a.m. and everyone was like, no one batted an eye.
No one, yeah. Because flying is such an anxiety-inducing thing for so many people. And people take medication, they drink, it's yeah. You know, like
or some combination of both,
or sometimes a combination of both, which it didn't, nobody said that, but if that had been the case, you know, he might have been a little bit groggy, and there's nothing like, that's not a red flag, I don't think.
He wasn't arrested. It's Odell Beckham, no. Man, like,
yeah,
people knew who he was, you know what I mean, like, who so knows, the guy could have been a Cowboys fan, you know what I mean, like, who knows.
I seriously think,
but that shit happens, you know.
I think it might be this could be a conspiracy by a Dolphins, you know, flight crew, because they heard that the Bills were interested and they wanted to dissuade the Bills from signing him.
Dolphins aren't worried about the Bills, man.
You would be more worried about the Bills if they signed Odell Beckham, I think. That would be a pretty good signing for them. But they popped up after we heard Cowboys, Giants. If anything, I think this makes him more attractive for the Cowboys.
They're Cowboys, like, oh, baby. What did I say? It was probably them that did it. Made him make him look less right. Inside. Like, to me, if you
he's like,
to
now he's my, our like, guy.
My Jewish conspiracy hat, it's like, let whoever wants to sign him, let's bring the price down.
You know? Oh, that's... uh-huh. I like it. Uh-huh. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, along the lines of big free agent Cowboys of the past, wide receivers, T.O. got in trouble for punching somebody. So, yeah, I think Odell Beckham just fits as a Cowboys wide receiver free agent signing. It's a home run. I think they got to do it. So, especially because they beat the Giants. If the Giants had beaten the Cowboys in that game, I really think the Giants would have had a more legitimate shot at signing him. But
I don't know, man. I don't think the Giants – like, let's be honest, man. Like, I could be wrong. I don't think the Giants are in any danger of signing Odell Beckham. I think it's New York. It's the New York media. Like,
yeah.
You know, all the media is based out of New York. They all want him. They're Giants fans. Like, they want him to come. Why would he sign with the Giants? The Giants are in no danger of winning the Super Bowl this year. Like, let's be honest.
The only reason I say maybe is because history, comfort. There is something to that. Also, New York City. Odell Beckham likes big cities. He's a big city kind of guy. So I think that aspect, he did just win a Super Bowl and he earned that ring. He played well in the Super Bowl. He scored a touchdown in a Super Bowl. So if he's looking to feel at home, and like the number one guy and the man, and also comfortable with an organization that he's been in before, with players around him that he's played with before. Not that they're all there, but some of them are. That's why I give the Giants a fair shot possibly at signing him. But no, if he's chasing a ring this year, he's got to go Cowboys. There's nothing else makes sense except maybe the Bills.
The Bills.
I don't see that happening either. I think he's going to go to the Cowboys. I hope. I'd love to see him on the Cowboys.
Me too,
Cowboys.
Man. I would also love to see that.
Yeah. It'd be great. It'd be good for everybody. Good for America. Good for the league. Good for football in general. All right. Joe Burrow got a huge win. That was probably the game of the week. Titans Bengals, probably the biggest, most important playoff potential, playoff preview game, if you will, was that Bengals Titans game. It was a close game. Bengals were banged up. No Joe Mixon, no Ja'Marr Chase, and they still got it done. Joe Burrow got it done. Big signature win. This is a huge win to propel the Bengals into the playoff picture. Because I think before this, they were sitting on the outside looking in. How big a deal is this for either one of these teams, Bengals and the Titans? Do the Titans take a notch down because of this loss?
I don't think so. Because, like you were saying, the Bengals are on the come up, man. They've been really connecting. Like, everyone's hitting right now with them. Yeah. So I think they're doing great. And I don't know, how are the Titans health-wise? Didn't Tannehill have something? Or am I imagining that?
Tannehill played. He's back. He's playing. He played pretty well, I think. They're getting the Titans are getting healthier. They played a pretty good game. They played a tough game. They're not going to be easy to beat in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but I don't see them being contenders, legitimate contenders either at this point. You know, if that line gets hot, Derrick Henry, a couple turnovers, if they get ahead, they might be tough to beat. But I just don't think they have the offensive firepower to really, like, they could grind out a game and pull an upset, but I don't think they really have what it takes to contend with the, you know, the Dolphins, the Bills, if the Bills get healthy, those kind of teams. They could pull an upset though. Bengals, on the other hand, are definitely on the rise. This week, they're supposed to get Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase back. And Samaje Perine, I actually picked him up in Dynasty. Anybody who picked up Perine in Dynasty or in draft and fantasy did really well. He had a great game. So he was a nice little plug in with Mixon being out. But Mixon's supposed to be back. Ja'Marr Chase probably going to be back. So Bengals look like they're just getting healthier and healthier at the right time of year. Josh Jacobs walk-off touchdown in overtime. That was awesome. I'm sure this happened to me. Lonnie, you were already winning. Vital, you said this happened to you too. That mm-hmm. gave you the win in one of your leagues, right?
Yeah.
And like, I was done. That was the last play that was happening between me or the other guy. And it was a walk-off touchdown for the Raiders, walk-off win for my fantasy team. That was so great. He dropped 50 points, dude. Oh, man. He looks really good. Hey, you think the Raiders can make any more noise? That was a pretty decent win. Not against a great team, but I thought they were going to win that one. I had a good feeling about that.
They're going to score, dude, but they always are score things. Isn't their big thing always been their defense? Their pass defense has always been atrocious. Now their run defense is atrocious, too. It's just like,
yeah, it's
going to be a great fantasy team.
Yeah, it's weird when you have a team like that where, like, they're so fantasy relevant, but not very good football-wise. That's that team this year. This is the big fantasy playoff push. We have one more week in our league, two more weeks in some leagues. This is, man, I'm like right on the cusp. I think if I win next week, I'm in, or if Brian G loses, I'm in. It's like right there. Like this, I'm on the bubble in two of my leagues, and it's like scraping and clawing, and like the trade deadline is coming up or almost up or past in some leagues. So this is the week where you hope and wish that if you have one of your quarterbacks who's not been great, Deshaun Watson is coming back, and he is coming back against the Texans. If you have Deshaun Watson, outside of like maybe the top five fantasy quarterbacks, are you starting Deshaun Watson? Like, are you starting him over anybody in the top half? No.
So simply not that game, just because I think those Houston guys are mad about it. And then I saw what they were going to Tua. They're up 30. We're down 30 points. They were still trying to take Tua's head off. So I don't know what they're going to do to Watson, man.
You think they're – I feel like there might be a little bit of a revenge factor for Watson.
I don't think so.
Lonnie, you like him fantasy-wise in this game, first game back? I love him. I love this play. I think outside of – I would consider playing him over Josh Allen, who's been not great with the elbow injury. Looking at matchups, there are not a lot of quarterbacks that I would probably play over Deshaun Watson this week. I have him on one of my teams, but I also have, I think it's the team that I have Jalen Hurts, and I'm not benching Hurts for Watson, but I feel really good about having him. Hurts took a couple shots yesterday and I was like,
He also set the record. He ran for like 160 yards yesterday too, right?
Yeah, he blew some records out of it. He definitely set a first half record, probably a full game record. Yeah, he looked awesome. But outside of Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Pat Mahomes hasn't been great fantasy-wise either. They've been putting a lot of – they kicked a lot of field goals yesterday. They just couldn't get it done in the red zone, which was weird from Mahomes' kind of situation. Like, you've seen him get jammed up with coverages, but to make drives and then not finish them, that was very un-Mahomes-like. They still won.
I mean, all I'll say is – he scored 21 points, which, you know, for Mahomes is below average. But I'll just say his last four games, he scored 21 yesterday. Mm-hmm. At the Chargers, 30. At Jacksonville, 37. At Tennessee, 34.
Right.
And at San Francisco, 32. I mean, Pat Mahomes is the number one quarterback and the number one player in fantasy football right now. So,
So you're not benching him for Mahomes?
Definitely not. For anybody.
Or Hurts. Or, but what about a Herbert? What if you got Herbert?
No way. Mahomes is number one. I'm looking at the rankings right now. He's the number one player. He's the number one overall.
Justin Herbert is? No. I'm talking about other quarterbacks you might bench.
Oh, for Watson.
For Watson. Mm-hmm. You benching Justin Herbert for Watson? Maybe. I might.
I don't know. But all I know is my Amari Cooper stock just went up quite a bit.
Way up. Everybody else's stock went up. I think every offensive player on that. Maybe Njoku, the tight end, does not. Because he's been very good. But I think he's been relied on heavily by Jacoby Brissett. Maybe his stock plateaus. But everybody else, I think, goes up. So, yeah. I'm curious to see what he does from a football standpoint. That's going to be exciting. How about Mike White and the Jets? Mike White. Balling out, making Jets players relevant in fantasy that haven't been all year.
He was the number one quarterback, or no, Hurts was, but I think he was like number two.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He had a really good game. He just kind of showed you what could be done with that offense. And
number he's not two even, quarterback.
Yeah, so he had a really good Mike White with the Jets. They look different. They look better. They're in the playoffs right now. Do you think they can hold off the Chargers?
I don't think the Chargers are going to make it this year.
I don't either. We were talking about a couple weeks ago, we were talking about this with Zach Wilson and Lonnie. You were like, at least Lonnie said, no, Chargers are going to overtake the Jets. Based on yesterday with the switch at quarterback, I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. I kind of like the Jets holding on to that spot. They're not far. They're only one game ahead of the Chargers, but it depends.
They have a very similar team to San Fran, where the defense up front, all they need is a QB won't fuck it up for them.
Right, and Mike White's that guy. They got, I mean, his receivers are wide open all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, I kind of like the Jets to hold off the Chargers. The Chargers did gamble, and maybe that's one of the reasons they decided to do this. I thought this was a surprising gamble, but the Chargers and the Jags both went for it at the end of the game, went for two to win the game or lose the game. Both of them got the 2-point conversion. From the Jags, I like it. Obviously, they're 3-7. They're trying to beat the Ravens, which they have a very good record against the Ravens at home. The Chargers, I was a little surprised. Would you have done this against the Cardinals if you're the Chargers? Seemed really risky. When you had momentum, did you like the call or would you have changed it for either team?
I liked it, man. I say always go for it, man. I'm about it.
I mean, the Cardinals defense isn't great, but Buda Baker is a player who's on the field. He can make a play in a big moment. Whereas if you flip a coin, I think your team is better and you have a much better chance of winning the game as a Charger, as the Chargers. And it was, they're 5-5. I just didn't like that. Like the record, the situation, chasing the playoff spot. It seemed so risky in that moment against a team that I felt like you're just better than in the Cardinals.
I don't know, man. I like it. I like the win now. I like the playoffs are on the line. Like, because if you blow that, you lose the game. You're not necessarily out of the playoff race yet. Mm. It hurts you.
It hurts you bad. But
if you get it, you carry that momentum into your next couple of weeks. And I think that's what the coach was looking for. And they got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got it. But if they lose, like, they already had the momentum. That's what I'm saying. They had the momentum. They have the better team. If you have the better team, but there's like a couple superstars, a JJ Watt, Chandler Jones, a Buda Baker. These are playmaking guys who can in one moment change a game if it comes down to one play. Whereas if you look at the team as a whole, you've got a better team. If you're the Chargers, you've got better players. I know Kyler's pulled some last minute stuff, and maybe that's what they're concerned about. Kyler Murray has had some great game winning drives already in his young career. So I get it. I get the call, but it seemed risky as the Chargers for the Chargers to do when they, I feel like they had momentum. And if you have all that momentum and you lose it on one play, you're like, fuck, you know, like we could have probably beat them. We would have been going towards the playoffs. So falling to 5-6 would have been a big blow, but they're still on track. So is it Jordan Love time in Green Bay? Did you guys watch that game last night?
Yeah, I say absolutely. Why not, man?
Lonnie, Jordan Love time?
Like Jordan Love time because Aaron Rodgers is injured, or Jordan Love time because Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay and it's time to make a change?
All of the above.
Like, give the people what they want to see a good QB, man. Like, at least see what you have, man.
Dude's, I mean, slinging. If Aaron Rodgers has been playing hurt since week 5, which I believe.
Broken thumb.
Got rocked last night. Yep. Hurt his rib. I mean,
Jordan Love came in and looked good. He looked like he could run the offense. Aaron Rodgers said he looks good and he can run the offense.
He probably can. I mean, he's what? He's been a backup now to Aaron Rodgers for how long?
Four years, three years,
something like that.
Two.
I mean, so yeah, he probably can.
He looked confident. He was making good throws, and he was making a lot of different kinds of throws. They didn't back off with him when he came in the game. It feels just like, it feels just like when Rodgers came in for Brett Favre, when Brett Favre was injured, and it was like, all right, this looks like this is it. We're going to, you know.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers should have gone to Denver, man. And now is he going to do the same thing and go to the Jets?
Yes. That's the other side of it too. Give us Jordan Love. Let's start the Jordan Love era. You got all these young receivers in Green Bay. They're going to be young. They're going to be exciting. They're going to be fun. They're going to be 8-9 probably next year, right? But like fun and exciting and new, which is good for Green Bay. And then let Aaron Rodgers go pull a Brady, go to the Jets, go to a loaded team and see what he can do. See if he can make one last run with a, you know, team that's not been there in a while. This would be good for the league overall. You're improving two teams potentially by doing this. Maybe not improving the Packers, but maybe improving the Packers. His mobility
look might good on the Colts, man.
Who, Rodgers would look good on the Colts? Dude, the Colts is where old quarterbacks go to die. Don't send him to the Colts.
Wouldn't go to the Colts, man.
I don't know, man. The Colts can play when they want. I don't know just what's going on there.
I don't know. I think if the Jets running game comes back healthy, Breece Hall comes back healthy next year. The Jets have to be
your number one.
Yeah.
Spot. Like,
listen, I'm just trying to avoid the heat in my division. All right. It's already, this whole division's already murdered, bro. We don't need Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, to be fair, also
that is
the Commanders.
It's a good point.
Commanders look good.
Commanders are a good team. Yeah, I think one of those teams with a tough, tough defense is a team that he's going to look at possibly, and some really talented wide receivers. That's all he wants. Good defense, good wide receivers. A good offensive line, actually, is what Rodgers probably really cares about at this point. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Jordan Love era to begin in Green Bay. Everybody saw it last night. It was interesting. He threw a bomb to Christian. Well, it was more of a cross, but turned into a bomb to Christian Watson. It was good. It was nice. It was exciting. Trevor Lawrence had probably the biggest game, biggest drive, biggest moment of his career with that last. The going for two was big, but the last drive was really big. He looked like we've been wanting him to look in that final drive. He looked like an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady kind of drive where it was like, oh, he's going to do this. He's got this. You know, he made all the throws. He was confident and he went down and he put together a game-winning drive. I love to see that from Trevor Lawrence. Big things for Trevor next year. We've been talking about the Jags being on the cusp, kind of like the Lions maybe, but do you guys think Trevor's going to make an even bigger jump next year?
Yeah, I think absolutely, man. Yeah. They're doing great, man. You could see the connection with his receivers. It's they're hitting, man. What's his name? Yep. Him and Zay Jones are clicking. As soon as Travis Etienne comes back, dude. And the other guy, his backup's fire too.
Right. Wait, who's backup?
The running back. Jacksonville.
Who's their backup? Oh, JaMychal Hasty. He did really well
yesterday. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and Etienne, by the way, Etienne went out of the game with a foot injury. He was cleared to come back into the game, but Doug Marone was like, this was his surgically repaired foot. Let's just slow play this. Let's, you know, he wasn't taking any chances with Etienne coming back into that game. They won anyway, but I like to see the head coach like, we're building something here. Let's not get crazy and make weird, stupid decisions. You know, we're 3-7. We're building towards something. Let's not go crazy this year, you know, trying to beat the Ravens in this 3-7.
If you were the Jags, what would you add this offseason?
They already did, man. They added Calvin Ridley. they already did it. Defense. I would add defense because I think that offense, if Calvin Ridley comes back and you keep everybody, that core offense, they've got pass catchers at tight end. They've got four really good receivers. You've got solid running, maybe a little bit of depth at running back, maybe, but they just added Darrell Henderson for depth at running back. Picked him up off waivers. I would go all in on defense, I think, if I'm the Jags. You know, give your offense more opportunities with the ball, more possessions. That could be, you know, what we talked about. This could be a new Colts kind of connection. The new Colts. Let's see. Panthers at 4-8 are the only NFC South team to win yesterday. The NFC South, they have also beaten every team in the NFC South in their division. They are 4-8. They are two games back in the loss column to the Buccaneers, who lost to the Browns. How pathetic is the NFC South that the Panthers, who basically gave up on the whole season, fired their coach, traded their best player away, have gone to Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback? How bad would it be if the Panthers make the playoffs?
I don't know, but if they do, they have to get a Sam Darnold log roll statue. That little roll. Nobody touched him. That shit was crazy. I was like, what's going on here?
I know. How did he do that? I was like, is that really a touchdown? It's because he fumbled. He got stripped.
He fumbled and no one touched him. He just, do mine. Like, I was like, come on, you guys.
That's crazy. Sam Darnold played pretty well, though. That's good. Melvin Gordon finally got picked up by the Chiefs. Melvin Gordon just won the free agent lottery. Cut by the Broncos, picked up by the Chiefs in the division. Like, hey, man, how would you like to go win a Super Bowl? What do you say? And he says, sure, sounds great to me. Now, we know with Andy Reid, though, fumbling will not be tolerated in any way, shape, or form. So I'm sure he's been given the riot act about fumbling. But Melvin Gordon's fantasy value may have just gone up, although Isaiah Pacheco looks awesome. I think he's just a depth position there.
I don't think Melvin Gordon's going to see the field. I think you're going to see a Le'Veon Bell, LeSean Murray kind of
thing. I was going to say that too. A lot of running backs go to die at KC, man.
LeSean McCoy. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to play.
He used like LeSean McCoy. Like he'll still use Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's not washed from a physical standpoint. He just put the ball on the ground. I think he'll get some chances to get some touches. But also, those running backs have been dropping like flies in KC. Edwards-Helaire is out. They needed more depth. So, but no, I think he's going to be the number two or three guy there. But still, hey, hop on this ride. You want a ring? Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. We were talking about the Rams. You're talking about the Rams. That was the why your team sucks. Do you think McVay is like kind of the new Belichick with these issues and culture stuff that's happening? Like, is he the new genius who like just won't tolerate anything outside of his zone, outside of his acceptable behavior? Like, because that cut of Darrell Henderson was really weird. The Cam Akers situation was really weird. Is he the new guy who's creating this like my way or the highway, and players maybe just aren't really that into it, do you think?
I mean, I think he should. I'm glad to hear he won a Super Bowl. He's been to the Super Bowl twice. He's our age.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's your age, Nick, or he might even be a year younger than you.
He's Richard, younger than I am. I think he's younger than I am.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, he's not a flash in the pan. He's been around this league in one form or the other for a long time. I think his grandfather was a coach. Yeah. Like, he is here. He is setting in. He is like, listen, motherfucker, I am not Cliff Kingsbury. Like, you are going to listen to me, or I'm going to take this team to places that it never was. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a Nathaniel Hackett. He's like, I am here. I'm the coach. We're going this way. Right. You know, I think when you have a coach that sets a buy-in mentality, it takes them further than the coaches that are going to like placate players and let them kind of walk all over. Cause let's not remember, like, Nick Saban, the winningest coach in college football history, was laughed out of the NFL because players wouldn't call him coach. Like, this is the NFL. This is a different beast from any other sport. Like, players are not going to buy into you in just because you're the coach. Like, you have to set a certain tone. I like it. I like coaches that do what they have to when they can back it up. I like it.
Yeah, and he does have the backing of the organization. You have to have that in order to do those kinds of things.
And his players, I think most of the players believe in him, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But like you said, he's proven. His system is proven. His system has been proven. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's won one. He's been in a other, I think, NFC championship games. Maybe he's been deep in the playoffs a number of times. He's won a lot of games. So, yeah, you have to. And he also, as a player, you know that he is more important than any player on that team to the organization. They're going to stand by him the way Patriots are going to stand by Belichick. Versus, you know, that was the only, Brady was the only player where there was like a little bit of back and forth. You weren't really sure who was completely in control. The Rams don't have that at all. McVay is in control. He said what he says goes on in that organization, and every player knows it, from the star players on down to the bottom. So, yeah, I think he's the new Belichick, for better or worse, but I think he has that. He's the next version of that. No nonsense. We're going to do it my way. We're going to win my way.
And also the attention to detail. You don't see that. Have you ever seen that, those clips of him where he can like remember exactly what plays, like the sequence of plays from games like 6 years ago? Have you ever seen that?
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Oh, he's a genius. He's a next level genius. Like, that's what I say. On all levels, I think he's the next Belichick.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. But yeah, seeing the stuff that's happening with some of these players where it's just like, all right, you're out of here, you know? And maybe it wasn't I would think it probably had nothing to do with Henderson's personality or locker room issues. It was probably just like, we don't need you anymore. You know, like, we've got these other guys. Good luck. We'll see you later. But it was a weird cut, I thought, at the time. What else we got here? Micah Parsons making an MVP case this year. First defensive MVP since Lawrence Taylor. Do you see it happening? No.
Offense is still king, man.
Can't catch Mahomes. I think he's gonna get some votes. I'll put it that way. But we still think it's going to be, there's no way he catches Mahomes or one of the other quarterbacks.
Potentially. I mean, Tua's going to get more votes than him. You know, I mean, it's just not.
You say it like Tua's not.
Quite the opposite. Like, Tua is playing his ass off. Like, Tua is playing, like, legitimately. Like, I'm willing to say when I was wrong. Like, you look at quarterback play right now in the NFL, and who's playing better than Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Tua? Like,
Jalen Hurts, maybe.
Jalen Hurts.
Better?
That's better than Josh Allen.
Good as?
Josh Allen, yeah. He's playing better than Josh Allen since the injury.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a top five quarterback in Tua. He's playing at a very, very, very high level.
I was just thinking from a most valuable standpoint, where would the Cowboys be without Micah Parsons? Like, that was Vital's pick last week for his turkey dinner, man. Like, that's where would they be without him? And that's when you talk about most valuable player, the Cowboys would not be there without Micah Parsons. It probably won't happen, obviously. Do you think he could win one at some point in his career? Could he win an MVP?
I don't know, man. You know, you had these guys that when they were like J.J. Watt, for example, is probably the closest to a guy that you're going to see that would have been arguably an MVP. Mm. You know, I think for me, man, I am a classic guy. Like, I think the MVP, the Heisman Trophy, should be the best player on the best team, right? Like, that's to me what an MVP is. Like, theoretically, that could be a defensive player, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like Aaron Donald, by that metric, is probably your MVP. Or maybe Cooper Kupp last year would have been NFL MVP.
That's where it gets tough when these teams have so many good players. The best player on the best team might not be the best player in the league.
Right. But, like, I think they go off of stats too much these days. There's, like, this reliance on stats and mm-hmm. – Yeah, I mean, to be honest, man, like, I think Micah Parsons, here's I think the question you're asking me. Will Micah Parsons at some point be the best player in the NFL? I think the answer is yes. I think he's there now.
Might be there. Yeah.
I think you're looking at a guy that is, if not the best player, like, Will is in the top three and could potentially have a Lawrence Taylor story.
Sure.
You know, like, we'll be looking at him with the Deion Sanders, the Lawrence Taylors, the Ray Lewis's, like, of the greatest defensive players of all time.
Yeah. Aaron Donald. I think we can.
No, Aaron Donald is in that conversation.
Top five defensive players, maybe one of the great, maybe the greatest at his position of all time. He could end finishing.
But for that to happen, the Cowboys need to win Super Bowls. Like, he needs to win Super Bowls on the team he's on for that conversation to really pick up steam, right?
Yeah.
All those guys won Super Bowls. You can't be in the conversation without the ring. So, yeah. I don't know, man.
Like, let's see. He could get one this year.
he could get one this year.
And if he does, I mean, he could certainly become a Super Bowl MVP. I'd say that is as likely, if not more likely, than a regular season MVP, which is weird to say for a Cowboys player, but I think
it's the Cowboys, so they're going to lose to the Seahawks in the first round. So.
I don't think the Seahawks are going to make the playoffs. One of the over unders though. Let's play over under. All right, since we're on the topic, you guys ready for over under? This is a fun one. All right, so games that Aaron Rodgers plays for the Packers going forward for the rest of his career, I'm going to put the over under at 1.5 starts as a starter. And this is not like Jordan Love's playing, he's okay, and then he comes back in because Jordan Love gets hurt. As a named starter, 1.5 games, Aaron Rodgers as a Packer.
Over.
I'm going to take the over on that, but not by much. I would say 2 or 3.
You think so? 2 or 3 more games they're going to give him?
I think by then they're going to really pack in the season. And they're like, yeah, let's see what he can do against the Dolphins or something.
I think they're going to – I think it's going to be one more game that he starts. I'm taking the under, but barely.
They're a little more loyal to him than that.
It's not about loyalty. He's hurt right now. He's got a broken thumb and a bruised rib. Like, he's really pretty badly hurt. I don't think they're going to put him back out there at 4-8. With the NFC the way it's lining up. If they had won last week, maybe more, but falling to the Eagles 4-8, I just don't think he's gonna. I think we're done there. All right, NFC East, the entire NFC East is in the playoff picture right now. We had this conversation about the AFC East a couple weeks ago. The NFC East teams, number of NFC East teams to make the playoffs, the over under is 3.5. And so let me just give you an example. The two teams chasing the Giants and the Commanders, who are at the bottom of the NFC East, both, I believe it's 7-5, are the Seahawks, who just lost to the Raiders, and the Falcons, who are 5-7. The 6-5 Seahawks, the 5-7 Falcons. Are either of those teams going to catch the Giants or the Commanders? So over under 3.5.
So you're in this scenario, all three wildcard spots.
NFC East. That's what it is right now. That's where they're sitting. And I just want to give you the teams that have to catch them, the Giants and the Commanders.
The Giants and the Commanders are both 6-5, right?
7-5. They're both 7-5. Seahawks, I think, are 6-5, and the Falcons are 5-7. Now, the Falcons could catch the Bucs, but that would have to mean that then the Bucs would have to catch the Giants. An NFC South team, I don't think, is getting a wild card bid. What do you guys think? Over under 3.5 NFC East teams in the playoffs. Are we going to see the whole division or not?
Man.
It seems unlikely, but I don't think those teams are going to catch them. But then it's just like,
I don't think so either. It seems unlikely just saying it out loud sounds ridiculous. But when you look at the playoff picture, it seems likely.
I guess I'll take the over. Yeah.
Lonnie, you taking all NFC, the whole NFC East coming to the party?
It'd be cool to see, man.
It would be cool to see. I think it's going to happen, honestly. We got some games to play yet. But
well, and they also play each other. I would imagine the Commanders and the Giants are going to play each other again before the year's over.
Yeah, they are. But that just means one of those teams is going to get a win.
Right.
So, one of them is going to get a loss, but one of them is going to get a win. I'm pretty sure the Seahawks also have to play the 49ers again, I think. So that's not a cakewalk
either. Right.
And they just lost over. Over. Let's do it. Let's do it. Four teams, NFC East. I can't wait to see if this happens. The last one I was going to do was from last week. We were going to do a multiple choice question because Tuesday morning, we got the story about the Cardinals firing their offensive line coach prior to the game in Mexico City due to an unspecified incident. And I was going to give you a multiple choice. Was it A, prostitution, B, drugs, or C, fighting in public? It turned out they released, it was groping a woman, which I think is probably D, some combination of all three of those things. Yeah. Probably.
It's probably prostitution, let's be honest.
It's probably prostitution, fighting in public, maybe there were drugs involved. I think it very well could have been D, all of the above. So also very strong argument not to make Mexico City the expansion outside the US. We got some injuries, quick injury roundup. Travis Etienne, we mentioned him, he was out, he'll be back in, he's already been cleared to play, he will be back next week. Darnell Mooney out for the rest of the season, probably a blow to somebody's fantasy season. Aaron Rodgers, we talked about him ad nauseum during this podcast. Obviously he's injured, we'll see what happens. That's a lot of speculation on that. Von Miller for the Bills, this is a big blow fantasy wise and regular football wise to the Bills defense having Von Miller out. Do you guys remember how serious was it? I think it was pretty bad. It was a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's
maybe it 2 weeks.
It's not season ending. He probably should be back for playoffs, which is very significant, but Bills defense is going to be a little more suspect for the next couple weeks probably. Damian Harris for the Patriots, knee injury, iffy. Michael Carter, ankle injury for the Jets, day-to-day, they said. And Tristan Wirfs, I bring this up for a fantasy perspective for the Bucs. Everybody on that team goes down with Tristan Wirfs, I think. The Brady's not going to have as much time in the pocket. The running game's going to be more sluggish. Tristan Wirfs, a really good right tackle for the Bucs. Out, they said, 3 to 4 weeks, I think. This hurts their team overall, I think, from a fantasy perspective. Still probably got to play those guys if you got them on your team, but not going to be great. Coming back, we mentioned a couple of all the guys coming back. Also, in addition to the other guys we talked about, J.K. Dobbins possibly expected to come back for the Ravens. Kadarius Toney maybe coming back for the Chiefs with his hamstring issue. Waiver targets, quarterbacks. We mentioned earlier, Mike White is interesting. Gus Edwards for the Ravens, possibly he had a good game. Zay Jones was the number one receiver. First round pedigree, Zay Jones thought to be a bust at one point, looked really good for that Jags. They have first round talent all over that team, especially with Calvin Ridley coming there next year. First rounders just all over the place. That team is going to be really fun to watch. And then Foster Moreau, assuming Waller is still out, which I'm sure he is. Foster Moreau has been in double digits for a tight end for a while. So he's also pretty interesting. All right. Players we do not want on our fantasy teams. Let's do, I'd rather have Kaepernick than. Worst quarterback of the fantasy week. I picked Mac Jones against my Patriots. Serves me right to lose that one. Mac Jones played pretty well, actually, even in a losing effort against the Vikings. Scored 24.28. Vital Daniel Jones, a very respectable 12.52 from him. But Lonnie just barely edged you with Andy Dandy Dalton putting up a zero. I thought we were going to New Orleans for I'd rather do why your team sucks. They were bad too. 9.26 from Andy Dalton. So I get first pick. Worst quarterback next week. There's some question marks here. God, I wish I could see Matt Ryan play tonight before I decide whether I want to pick him against the Cowboys. But also
some goodies.
He could get hurt tonight too, though. This is Matt Ryan we're talking about. That would be a super risky pick because he hasn't played yet.
Well, if he gets hurt, I think we would repick, wouldn't we? Because it's not even into the week yet, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's part of the risk. The way we always did it before is COVID. Unless it was COVID, because that was like the X factor last couple of years.
Well, I just figured since it's still week 12, you know?
I mean, you're going to let me repick? I don't think that's – no repicks. You take a gamble. It's always a gamble. Guys can get hurt during the week, you know? Like, that happens all the time. They get benched. They get traded, whatever. No, I'm not doing that. Oh, man, I want to take Andy Dalton. Is he going to play again? God, I kind of want to pick Mac Jones again, but I'm not going to. There's no Panthers are on a bye, so there's no Panthers players.
Who's Chicago's starting QB this week? Is it going to be?
We don't know. That's the thing. Could be Trevor Siemian. Could be Justin Fields. This is the problems right now. This is the time of year where we don't know. Where's my quarterbacks? Man, Tannehill at Philly. I think I'm going to go Russell Wilson against Baltimore at Baltimore. All right, Vitaly, you got next pick.
That's a pretty good pick. I like that pick.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I'm really nervous about this one. I also want to pick Matt Ryan, but I don't know if they're going to even play him.
Right.
Might be scary.
Why wouldn't they play Matt Ryan?
Huh?
Why wouldn't they play Matt Ryan?
Yeah, they say they're all in, but then I saw the way they were playing last week. I don't know, man. And if they get their asses kicked this week, all right, I'll put Matt Ryan. Don't screw me again, dude. I hate the Colts QB situation.
I'm assuming you didn't pick him for your DraftKings captain.
Never.
I did. He's my captain.
No,
what?
Get out of here. Is he really?
The Steelers have the worst, like one of the worst passing defenses.
I feel you. So that's football. Why I would have picked the don't you pick the receiver instead? That's who I picked, their top one.
No, because you don't
know we'll talk about
receiver it's gonna be, man, because they're gonna jam Michael Pittman.
Yeah, they are.
Harris Campbell's night. Mo Alley Cox hasn't scored a touchdown in like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Like it could be him.
It's pretty iffy. All right. So who are you going with, Lonnie?
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen against Cleveland. All right. So do we need anything for any of your leagues tonight? In tonight's game?
Michael Pittman needs to not score 90 points, but otherwise.
That's pretty. I'm going on the under on that one. Vital, you need anything for any of your leagues or anything?
I mean, if Jonathan Taylor could score 33 points, it'd be amazing.
Would that give you the win? That could happen.
I think I'm in there. Yeah.
That's 15. A legit dude.
It's possible. Yeah, exactly.
That's very possible. I like that one. That's good. I think the only thing I have going in one of my leagues, I need Michael Pittman to score less than 3 points. So slightly, that's a bigger ask than Lonnie, but you know, maybe you could get a concussion and that'd be great. All right, who you guys got for DraftKings captains tonight? Lonnie, you already said you took Matt Ryan. Wow, crazy. Vital?
Pittman.
Pittman? I took Najee Harris.
All different, right?
This is the first time I think first time in a while we've had all three different captains. Should be an interesting game. Who do you guys like in tonight's game?
Oof.
This is a,
I don't know. This is actually a decent game. You know,
it is.
It could be a fun game.
I think it's going to be a very fun game to watch, especially since we got this going on it. I don't think either of these teams is a clear cut favorite at all. So
all I'll say is my strategy for DraftKings has changed entirely this year. It has served me well, and I am sticking to it this week.
You've done pretty well. You're still in the lead.
I had a big week this week. I won both.
Yeah.
Pushed me back into the distance.
we were closing the gap for a minute.
Yeah, I hadn't won any in like a couple of weeks. It was starting to feel like last year. And I was
like, oh. Yeah, you were on a slide and then you took care of business over Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So winner this, who's actually going to win the game? Who do you got?
Well, I guess I'll take the Steelers.
I'm going to take the Colts.
I'm on the Steelers. I like the Steelers. I think they're tough, tougher than the Colts. Should be a good game, though. The spread was only like 2, I think, in this game.
Yeah. They're very evenly matched.
It's very close. This could go either way. I think it's going to be a good game to watch. All right. Anything you guys got a promo for this week? Anything coming up? Big comedy shows or anything?
You and I, Nick, we're together. Is that tomorrow? Oh. No, it's next Tuesday. We're at Backroom Sessions.
I thought it was Thursday. Next Thursday, right?
Thursday. I don't know why I keep getting it confused.
Yes.
Thursday. We're at...
that one's going to be fun. I've heard that's a fun stage. Yeah.
It is a fun show.
Nice.
Tomorrow, I'm at the Clevelander.
Nice.
Then I've got some Art Basel stuff going on this weekend.
All right.
And then also next Thursday, before Backroom Sessions, I got to pop over to Lincoln's Beard, but I could literally walk from one to the other. So
cool. Sounds great. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you then. Tal, got anything coming?
I'm going to be at the Book of Black Box 2.0. So I'll be hosting. So come see me Friday and Saturday. 2 shows on Saturday.
Nice. Oh, you're hosting all 3 shows?
Yeah, that's a nice little run that Mikey started putting together. Mikey Citron's putting together. I did that one a couple weeks ago. It's good.
It's like the same lineup for 3 shows?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, should only be 4, like 3 or 4 people max. I hate, you know, hosting long shows. Like,
hosted that one, right? You hosted the one that we did at Book of Black Box.
You were there. I was like 8 of you guys. I was like, yo, come on.
4 people who had never done comedy before. I was like, they actually did pretty well. They actually didn't do bad.
It was a nice crowd. Like the Book of Black Box is a nice room.
You can get some good rooms, some good crowds.
You there when the, was that you? Were you there when the fucking bug fell from the ceiling?
No, really?
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh man, that's awesome. Okay, so Boca Black Box Friday and Saturday, Vital, Lonnie, and then what am I? I think Thursday I'm doing like what's the Dade County Comedy one in Hollywood, the that Land of 1,000 Hills. It's like some coffee shop, little showcase. Should be fun doing that Thursday. Nothing else coming up after that for a couple weeks. All right, great. Well, have a good week, guys. I'll see you soon. All right.
Yeah. See you tomorrow, bro.
All right. Yeah. Are you coming tomorrow? Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Wait, what's tomorrow?
Oh, Brews Room every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I know. Yeah. Right. Anytime you want to come up. It's awesome. Sure. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a great room.
Okay. I'll see you guys soon. Have a good day.